I've been very refreshed in the spirit lately. I mean, just God, just every week, every day, the Lord's just been speaking some wonderful things. And literally, I'll finish a service on Sunday, and before I get home, the Lord will begin to speak to me about next week. I mean, just literally. So I'm driving home last week, and what a great, you know, last week we focused on don't miss the miracle in the mess, all the things God was speaking to us through the life of Mary. And the Lord literally spoke to me and said, Sean, stay true. Stay true. I said, yeah, I want you to tell my people next week to stay true. And okay. So I'm starting to think about it. I'm like, well, you know, in the world, I mean, you know, stay true. Like, stay true to your heart. Stay true to your dreams. Tupac, stay true to thug life. Andy Grammer, stay true. Don't take another drink. You got to go home and stay true to that lady back there. It's like, you know, like, okay, Lord, there's a bunch of, he's like, no. Sean, you know what the Bible says about the heart. It's wicked above all things. You can't stay true to you. That's a bad recipe. You can't stay true to your dreams because the Bible says that God has plans for you that are more than what you can ask or even imagine. So your dreams are way too small for what God has. You can't stay true to those things. If you want to stay true to somebody else, you need to stay true to me. And then the Lord just said this. He said, stay true to the Spirit. Sean, that's the one thing to stay true to in this life. It's not your own heart. Your heart, man, is up and down. Your heart is selfish. Your heart wants what it wants. No, that's not what to stay true. Stay true to the Spirit. And then the Lord began to speak to me. He said, Sean, remember in Galatians 3, are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles in the middle of your mess? Because you observe the law or because you believe? We started this past Wednesday in the introduction to the Holy Spirit, and I gave a breath of the Bible, how we were always meant to be people of the Spirit. You can join this Wednesday coming up. But the truth is, what the Bible says is whatever the Father wants to give us and the Son has cleansed us for, it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so you and I need to remember that it's begun in the Spirit, but now all of a sudden we tend to have this this issue that what we want to do is we want to finish it all in us. And so the Lord began to speak to me, and it's what I mentioned in the Facebook video, that some of us in this room, there's some things in our life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's our family, whether it's a job situation, whether it's a habit and a struggle in our life, we're trying to work harder. And then we're trying to work smarter, but what we really need to do is we need to work closer with the Holy Spirit. Our answer is not in working harder, although we should be faithful. Our answer is not in working smarter, although we should grow in knowledge. Our answer is working closer with the Holy Spirit. That's where the answer is found. I want to let you know, while I was praying this morning, in the middle of worship, second service, the Lord spoke to me, and I just want to share with you. I said, there are a few people here today, I think of particularly a few women here today, that the Lord say, Sean, they're walking in here today, and they think nobody understands where they're at. And you need to tell them, I understand where they're at. And the answer for you today, if that's you, is you're sitting there trying to figure out life, you're trying to come out. No. Just draw closer to who he is. Now, there's really two reasons we don't draw closer to the Holy Spirit. One is because we're just confused. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. Like, how does that all work? And then the other reason that we don't draw closer is because we're distracted. And, you know, we're at Cornerstone, we're all about making Jesus the center of everyday life. And you know what that means? If we would look at the life of Jesus, we would see he was always unbelievable. He was always in the power and in with the person of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we tend to hear the Holy Spirit and we think about him as a power to have, but he's actually really a person to be faithful to. And so we need to learn to have that relationship. So I want to do this. One, I want to say something really simple about who the Holy Spirit is to avoid some confusion. And then two, let's just look at Jesus, because that's our life, right? We're centered in Jesus. We're all about him. So let's follow his pattern with the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we just want to recognize who the Holy Spirit is. The scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:14 says this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's actually really simple. May the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of the Father and the fellowship or the communion or the very close friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And so really what that shows us about the Trinity is this, that the Father is the one who loves us. Because the Father loved the world so much, what did he do? He sent his Son. It's because of the love of the Father. And the love of the Father sent the Son. And what did the Son do? The Son saves us. It's by his grace that we are saved. So the Father loves us, the Son saves us, but it's the Holy Spirit that lives with us. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit, that we're closer than we've ever been, because that's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to live with us and to guide us. And when we ask Jesus into our heart, and in the Gospel of John, when Jesus said, the Father and I will come and make our home in you, that's the work and the role of the Holy Spirit. You can't separate the Trinity. So when the Holy Spirit comes, so does the Father and the Son. But the joy is the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. Now, this is a picture of my girls and my son, Caleb, and we're with Buski, who's on the far right there. This is us in Ethiopia, and Buski is our guide. He's the guy that we can't manage in Dire Dawa without, in Ethiopia, because they speak Amharic. And I remember, some of my gals over here, when we were in Ethiopia for the summer, we're hanging out, and you know, we're eating all this foreign food, and there was a little market just like literally 3 blocks away that had canned pineapple. Canned pineapple. Something my stomach's like, oh yeah, I remember that, you know? And so we're like, let's get some. And it probably cost us less than 50 cents. And it was only 3 blocks away. We could walk there, but you know what the problem was? We didn't speak the language. I mean, we could have handed over. It looked, you know, Ethiopian money, you know, whatever country you're not from, their money just seems like monopoly money to you, so you just hand it over, and it's like you don't realize what you're given. I mean, they probably would charge us like $150 for that can of pineapple, right? And so it was like, it's right there. It doesn't, I've got everything to do it, but I don't have someone who will tell me what's right. I don't have someone who will direct me. And what Jesus said in John 16, 7 through 13, so what we had to do, we had to bring our guide, our interpreter, and then we made sure that we got what we were supposed to get, and we only paid what we were supposed to pay for it. But John 16, Jesus said, I am telling you the truth. It is better for you that I go away, because if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. Jesus is saying that we should be grateful to God that the Son went back to the right hand of the Father, and now the Holy Spirit has come, who is with us, always interpreting, always helping us understand. Don't pay more than that. You shouldn't be paying. No, don't go there. This is what this means. This is how this works right now. Because it says, but if I do go away, then I will send him to you. When the Spirit comes, he will do what? Guide you into all truth. He'll be your interpreter. He'll help you understand how to move forward in life. You and I need a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. But most of us here, we're kind of in that place where we know things are wrong. We just don't know how to move forward. We're looking for an answer instead of a relationship. There's a story of this one wife who came home from a day's work, and she came and her husband was there. And she said, hey, honey, I think you should probably check out the car. I don't think it's working right. And he was like, all right, yeah, sure. And she's like, I'm pretty sure there's water in the carburetor. He was like, there's what? She's like, I'm pretty sure there's water in the carburetor. And he's like, well, honey, I don't mean to be rude, right? But you don't know the tailpipe from a carburetor. I mean, how do you know there's water in the carburetor? She's like, trust me, I'm pretty sure there's water in the carburetor. He's like, all right, where is it? Where's the car? He said, it's in the lake. I kind of like, yeah. It's like, you know, there's some of us here, like we know things are wrong. We have no idea how things work. We're pretty sure what the problem is, though. Like, we're just, something's not right. We're not in the right place. I don't know how it all works, but I know there's something wrong. And there are a lot of us, it's like, I know I need to be closer to God, but I just don't understand how to be closer to God. how to invite the Holy Spirit to come closer. I'm so frustrated. I've been working so hard. I can't find my answers. I just need to move closer to Him. And so that's why I want us to look at the life of Jesus, because we're supposed to follow the pattern of His life. That's why He came on earth, so we could learn how to live. And then He died so that we could be cleansed and start again. The Holy Spirit now empowering us. So we're just going to look at three stories of Jesus that relate, and they're the very beginning of His story as an adult. And this is the first picture. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. It's the story of Jesus' baptism. This is one of my favorite pictures of it. And just listen, Matthew 13, starting at verse 13. Then Jesus went to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to be baptized by him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. It's the Holy Spirit that tells us who we are. And I began to look at this verse because it says that when Jesus took this step of obedience, that the Spirit of God moved much closer, moved fuller into his life. And as I was hearing that, I felt like the Lord said, you know, Sean, to be true to the Holy Spirit means to be immersed in, what's that next word? Obedience. Obedience. You know, it's as you're doing Keep Growing, I want to encourage you, if you've been to our church for a few weeks, we don't want you just to intend. We want you to keep growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is not just through services, but to make sure that you have each of the patterns of Jesus in your life. And so I want to encourage you to sign up for that. But one of the things we'll talk about and keep growing is water baptism. And most people think, well, why do I need that? And they think, oh, and then they kind of like, well, I think when I was younger, I might have been sprinkled, da da da. Like they kind of get into semantics and cultures and traditions. But here's what Matthew 3 says: that Jesus said, I don't want to like get to the bare minimum line. I want to be immersed in obedience. I want to do everything in my power to say all of my life is His. That's what water baptism is, and that's why we do it by immersion. That's why you do it in public, because it's all of your life saying, I'm His. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't taken that step, you really need to hear from the Lord about that step, because it's a way that we say, I'm not just going to put God in a part of my life, I want Him to be in all of my life. And I want you to hear this, that halfway is no way forward with the Holy Spirit. Can you say that with me? Halfway is no way forward with the Holy Spirit. I was up in my attic last week. I was checking out some damage, and I had to get over to the areas where all the insulation was. So I'm getting up on the rafters, you know, the tilted ones, and I'm kind of walking through. And as I'm walking through, this foot was firmly planted, and this foot decided to go about 5 feet that way at a moment. And it really hurt very badly, because it always hurts when part of you is one place and part of you is in another place, okay? And there's some of us spiritually, emotionally, relationally, part of our life is over here and part of our life is way over here, okay? And we need to bring those two together in Jesus and say, I'm going to live one life towards Him. And so I want you to hear what Ephesians 4 says about the role of the Holy Spirit and the relationship we have with Him. In Ephesians 4, 29 through 31, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit by the way you live. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. We live in a world, and even like a Christian pop culture world, it's like, I kind of say that when I get mad and stuff like that. It's kind of like, we kind of excuse some things that I would call halfway habits in our life. We do them often. Like, it's a pattern in our life. And while we're all growing, so we don't have to be in condemnation, maybe we should be convicted about it some, what we need to recognize is the reason why those things are, we should be grieved about them, is because they grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about this. When I lose a loved one who knows the Lord and they go up to be in heaven, I've not lost them. They're in heaven. I've got them forever. But I do grieve because I'm not getting to enjoy that physical presence and closeness. So I still have them. I just don't enjoy close fellowship with them for a while. And that's what this word is about. That when we are choosing ways that are pushing away the Holy Spirit, we're choosing evil or selfishness or to give in to our anger or lust or our pride, what we're doing is we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're in Christ still, but we're pushing him away, and the Holy Spirit is grieving that he's not close to us now because he wants to be with us. That's his role. So a lot of us, what we're doing in some of the habits that we've really not looked at in a while, we're doing this, all right? We're doing this. We're putting the stiff arm to the Holy Spirit, say, not right now. I don't want you with me right now. I thought this was appropriate. I think all of us spiritually are the same quality as the Cleveland Browns. So that uniform is on purpose. Okay. You know, we are the Cleveland Browns in terms of our abilities. And the Holy Spirit's trying to come and embrace us. And we're going, Heisman. All right. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're like, nope, not right now. I don't want you here. I don't want you in this relationship. I don't want you here. And if we're going to stay true to the Holy Spirit, we got to stop stiff-arming the Holy Spirit. Because some of us literally have a Heisman in hijacking the Holy Spirit from healing the hurts in our life. And all the people said? No, hallelujah. It was the H. You got to follow the H's on that. You got to go to the H on that accent. Hallelujah. So, that the Bible says that's what we do when we're choosing these halfway habits. And so what you and I want to do is we want to begin to look at our lives and say, Lord, are there some ways that I've really grown pretty comfortable in saying, not in this area of my life? And what I'm watching on TV, Jesus, I love you on Sunday morning, come in my life, get away from me Friday night, okay? This is what I'm going to do right now. It's like, that's what we've got to, because we're grieving the Spirit, we're distancing ourselves, and then we're trying to fix all these things in our life, and the Holy Spirit's a half a mile away. It's like, hey, let me closer. I could interpret what's going on if you'd let me go with you in that area of life. So one of the wonderful things that I found in my life over probably the past month or so, I was saying this prayer. I was like, Lord, I want to know you more. Holy Spirit, I want to hear from you more. And God was kind of saying, well, why don't you spend a little more time with me? I'm like, God, I am so busy. Okay, you don't understand. Have you seen my Outlook calendar? I mean, there's not a spot on it. All right? And he's like, really? Really, Sean? I'm like, well, you know, and I already do my first 15. I spend some time besides that. And like, he's like, hey, wait, you're so busy. What are you doing at the end of the night? Oh, I'm watching a little TV, just kind of hang out a bit. Oh, I thought you were busy. I am. That's really important. I mean, I got to like spend some time watching TV. And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you give me that time? Sean, that's kind of a halfway habit. You're saying you want more of me, but then you kind of like, I'd like to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, not my TV, God. Anything but the TV. Some of us, that's how we feel. And I said, all right. So you know what I began to do about 3-4 weeks ago? Just started. I just, you know, I'm popping on Right Now Media. I got it on my phone. If you're a member of our church, you've got it. I'm just starting to watch stuff. And oh, my word. Like, I think it's why every week, like, I'm hearing before I even get home, like, what's next? Because I'm just open up. I took a halfway habit, said, mm-mm. I'm not 1 foot here, not 1 foot there. Let's bring it together. So I want to encourage you to stay true to the Holy Spirit. You want to immerse yourself. You don't want to dip your toe into it. You want to give all of yourself to obedience, and then the beauty of his life will come to you. Now, number two, here's this story of Jesus in the desert. Here it is, Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them was very hungry, very hungry. And when he was hungry, and note this, the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. What was going on in that moment? Jesus, 40 days without food. Some of us, we've been 40 minutes without food. We're already like ready for lunch, all right? I understand. 40 days, and he's hungry, and he's been hungry, and he's been hungry, and he's been hungry for a really long time. And I want you to just think of what happens. It was the Holy Spirit that was bringing him not to, but through the desert for some new victory in his life, some new power in his life. And I want you to get what happened in that moment. Satan knows he's hungry and says, hey, Jesus, really hungry right now. Why don't you make this rock something that we both know it is not? Because you're hungry. Hey, it's a rock, Jesus. But you know what? If God loved you a lot, he knows you're hungry. So how about we just make this bread? Come on, Jesus, you're hungry. Why don't you have it your way right now? Have it your way, all right? But to stay true to the Holy Spirit, we need to reject, this is a really important word, we need to reject hunger's control over our life. We need to reject hunger's control over our life because your way is no way forward with the Holy Spirit. Can you say that with me? Your way is no way forward with the Holy Spirit. A matter of fact, you should turn to your neighbor, all right, say this to them. You can have it your way or Yahweh. Just go for it. You can have it your way or Yahweh, but you ain't having it both, okay? This is it. It's one or the other. And what we do in this life is because we're hungry, because we haven't had an answer for so long, we tend to take what is around us and say, this will do. This will do. God, I know it's not the right thing. This will be what I use right now. And I want you to see what Romans 8 tells us. Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled, but why? By what that nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by the human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. And so people become enemies of God when they are controlled by their human nature. When I am controlled by the hunger, this is what I want, and I haven't had it for a really long time, so I don't care what you think, God. This is mine right now. And I just want you to see there are a lot of areas that when we're hungry for stability, some of us were really hungry for healing in our lives. I think the one that is the biggest in our culture and most prevalent in us is we're hungry for relationships. We're relationally starving. We're hungry, especially if we're single and we're kind of looking for that person. And so there's this hunger. And it's been like 40 days since we have felt someone come into our life. So there's this relational hunger. And I want you to think about this, especially if you're single. I want you to hear this. Let's take the same scenario. Let's switch it up just a little bit. Hey, single person. You've been hungry for a really long time. Hey, there's this person in front of you. They've got no character, no job, no commitment. How about we make them bread? Hey, they're as dumb as a rock. But why don't you put your whole life in their hands? Do you get it? They're in our relationships. What are we tempted to do? We're so hungry. And we both know that person's not the right person. We know they don't got the character. They don't even know the Lord. And we say, well, hey, I'm hungry. Let's make that work. Oh, my word. What a gigantic mistake. Sign up for, like, misery in life. Just sign up. Volunteer for it because that's what's going to happen. It's like, no, what we've got to do is say, Lord, I'm so hungry. I've been waiting. I've been trying to become the person I need to be for that person. I feel like I'm making some good decisions. I feel like it's taking an awful long time. And Satan's always like, I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. you've been trying to hang out with the Holy Spirit, but you know, it's 40 days now. It's been a while. How about just take this rock and make it bread? You and I, we need to not let hunger dictate our choices in life. That's what Jesus says, said, man doesn't live by bread alone. Yeah, that's not, I'm not doing it just because I'm hungry. No way. Now I'm gonna choose to let the Spirit that I came in with keep me until I get out. All right? And hey, married people, right? I mean, some of us, we live in a world that says, we know you got bread at home, but there's some really tasty rocks out there you should take a peek at. Really? All right, if you are with your spouse today, I want you to look at them and tell them, you're my little love loaf right now. Just that's so awkward. I know, that's way awkward. My bad. It just worked with the analogy, okay? It was bread, loaf, love loaf. All right. Okay, look. We need to recognize. So if we're married, we live in this world that says the rocks are great, all right? We need to invest in and care for and put our energy back in the bread that the Lord's already provided us, all right? We need to be about that. And I think not only, I mean, students, I tell you what, when I was probably, I don't know if it was 11th grade, 12th grade, I came back from a winter retreat. I went to public high school, nice druggy school. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it a lot. And I came back from retreat, man, and the Lord was just speaking to my heart. And, I survived school. I had some friends and stuff like that. But, I mean, cafeteria was just, you know, a gigantic waste of time. And so I come in the cafeteria, hang out, and I'd be like, I just came back from spiritually being so uplifted. I came back to cafeteria. I'm like, ugh, this is going to be, I mean, they're cool and stuff. I love them, but, ugh. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit said, hey, why you got to stop? What do you mean? Why don't you go finish your lunch? I know it's super not cool to go to the library. Go to the library anyway. And why don't you go hang out with me? And so literally what I did for 3 or 4 weeks, by the way, I love the library. It's the coolest place to be in all the world. Okay? What I did about 3 or 4 weeks, I brought my Bible to school. I ate lunch. And I went to the library. And I just hung out with the Lord. I tell you what, that's why I'm a pastor today. Because I like got to know him. And I wasn't all like super bold about it. I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of like, you know. People probably thought I was smuggling drugs into the school. It was actually a Bible. But I remember I'd sit in the library as far away from anybody seeing, because I didn't want anybody to know what I was doing, but I was spending some time with God. And literally my friends, who I didn't even know could read, ended up in the library, all right? And would literally come up to me like, hey, Sean, what you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm reading the Bible. What are you doing? I'm reading the Bible. They're like, you're doing what? I'm reading the Bible. Okay, cool. Gone. 2 weeks later. Hey, Sean. Yeah. Yeah, you still reading the Bible? Yeah. Hey, could you just like remember my family in prayer? We're da-da-da-da. Okay. Boom. It's like, what? You know, and all of a sudden, and then I started actually knowing people on a real level. It was crazy. And you know what? We're all hungry for friends. But don't choose rocks. Right? Don't choose rocks. Get to know him more. And he'll lead you to the right friends. It's just what we got to do. We got to reject hunger's control, and we got to handle our wrong relationships. Come on. You know, do we want to stay close? Do we want to stay true to the Spirit? Or do you just want to stay true to our hunger? And you know what? We got to say, no. You know what? I'm going to, you know, don't go up to him and be like, God told me you're an idiot. I'm not talking to you anymore. Like, don't do that. That's not, they're really going to come to Christ really soon if you do that. Just be like, hey, you know, I mean, just build your life with healthy relationships. Put Christ first. First love. Put your life in order, right? And just don't feed those relationships. Feed the right ones, especially him. You learn to have him as your best friend, you're going to be a great friend to other people. If you don't have him as your best friend, you're not going to have friends. You know what you're going to have? They're my identity. They're my worth. They're my desperation. They're my security blanket. Are they your friend? No. They're just, since you don't got it here, you're looking for every place else. Right? No. Make him your true friend, your best friend. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you, Jesus speaking, another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you, goes to school with you, is at the job with you, cleans the house with you, on sports with you, wants to hang out with you on Friday nights with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. Jesus is coming closer to us. The question is, are we coming closer to him? It's the real question. I love this last story, and this is in the book of Luke. It's just boom, boom, boom. This is the beginning of his ministry. And I just want to finish with this picture. If the first story is about like everyday habits in life, and like when are you just going to stop, make a decision to immerse yourself in obedience, man, and just draw closer to spirit? That's kind of first. Second is when God's leading you to handle difficult things in your life, so it's a little bit of a desert, but the Holy Spirit's got you there because he wants to grow you and give you victory, then this one's really about kind of my purpose in life, kind of like work and my job. Because Jesus, he comes back, and here's what the scripture says in Luke 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, moving down to verse 14, unrolling the scriptures, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news." Here is Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's gotten through the desert. He knew anything he wants. The world would say, "Man, you've gotten through. Now think about you. Man, it's been a long time in the desert. Now it's your time." Yeah, but that's the world's way of thinking about what I do with my life. To stay true to the Holy Spirit, I need to embrace God's greater purpose for my life. Embrace it. Don't think about, be like, "Yeah, it's nice to visit you everyone." It's like, "No, man, this is mine. This is what I do." Jesus came back and said, "I know why the Spirit of God is with me. I know why." Because the world would say he's with you to make, you know, for your life. It's like, no, it's actually so I could go help other people know good news. And here's this thing. If we want to stay in lockstep with the Spirit, if we want to continue to be with him, then he's all about the purpose of helping other people. And so we've got to be about that too. Now, some of us in this room, we think about that like, "Well, Pastor Sean, 40 hours of my week, I'm doing whatever." It's like, no. No, the Holy Spirit is there with you. That's where you're supposed to do this. That's where you're supposed to make a difference, because there are people there that don't have the good news of Jesus Christ. And a matter of fact, Luke 24, Jesus said, "You are the witnesses of these things." You're the witnesses. I'm alive. I save. I forgive. I restore. You're witnesses of this. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high, until you receive the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. When this comes, I'm sending you. The point isn't being here. We need to be here to receive and to grow, but then we're supposed to go and be witnesses. And your workplace is absolutely where that's supposed to happen. That's where the Holy Spirit is with you. Yet how many times before we go to work or after by Wednesday, are we even thinking about the Holy Spirit with us? I want you to hear something, and that's a U, not an E there. To stay true to the Holy Spirit, embrace God's greater purpose, and you know what you need to deal with in your life? Pointless pursuits. Like, what's the point of that? Why are you doing that? Because I always did it. Okay, and what's the point of that? I have no idea. So what's the point of you going to work? Is it just because you got to make money? I mean, is that the point? Or is the Holy Spirit someplace in there? Are you going to school just because you're supposed to be in school? Or is there a point? Is there a purpose to why you're there? And let me tell you what, if you would embrace that purpose, man, you would not feel alone where you are. You would not feel alone where you are. The Holy Spirit would be with you, guiding you. Pointless pursuits, we've got to deal with those in our life. It's not necessarily that we got to say, "I'm not doing that." We just got to know, what's the point to it? What's the point to your parenting, all that work you're doing at home? Is there a point to that, or are you just doing because you got to? There's a point there. If you'll discover the point, if you say, "I think God's got something to do with this," you'll discover a power for it. But if you're there, you're just kind of going through the motions, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to empower pointlessness. There, you know, it's like, no, I want to get you someplace. So I want you to look at what Jesus says here. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God's saying, look, You're at your job, you're doing what you're doing at home, you're in your neighborhood, you're at your school, because there are some people who are poor. They don't have what they need. There are some people who are prisoners. They feel trapped by the life they're living. There are some people that are blind. They don't see how they will ever change or that there's ever a future to their life. There are some people who are oppressed. There is a power over their life that won't let them go. And it's causing them pain. That's why you're there. Jesus said, I know why I'm here. I know I'm in the middle of this place right now. Because God's about people. God's about people who are hurting. And I tell you what, sometimes we forget the point. Do you ever remember, in our home growing up, we were very functional. There was no frilly extras in our house because there's barely anything in our house, right? So I never forget the time I'd go over somebody else's house and my mom would be like, now when you go in the bathroom, you can't use that towel. Why? That's not for use. That's just decorative. I thought towels were like for towels. Like you're supposed to, no, don't use that towel. All right? You know, it's like, there's like, oh, what's, there's the Holy Spirit, he's for use. He's not decoration in our life. We're supposed to use him. We're supposed to say, Holy Spirit, I have no idea how to handle this person. Holy Spirit, should I pay this much to get this back? Holy Spirit, should I be going this place and doing this thing? And you know what the Holy Spirit will do? He'll guide you in the way you should go. Now, all of this that God wants to do through you, he wants to do to you, because there are places where we don't have enough. There are places where we feel trapped. And there are places we can't see how we're going to change. And there are places that we feel like the power, the history, there's too much water under the bridge for anything to change. And here's the scripture I want you to just hold on to. If you could get me the next one, please. You got that last scripture, Steve? It's a really great scripture. You're going to love it. It's really, boom. This is dramatic pause. Just wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Okay, I'll just read it. I've got it in my notes. Romans 15:13. Just listen to it. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to put hope back in your life. That's what happens. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God say, I'm the God of hope. And if you'll welcome, if you'll stay true to my spirit that's begun to work in you, I promise I'll finish it. I was in the Y yesterday. I was working out a little bit. And they got all these cool signs. And one of them had the I am, like in bold, and then possible. And it's impossible. And I just felt like the Lord said, Sean, take a look at that. I said, yeah, I am possible. There it is. I am possible. Okay, yeah. How you spell that, Sean? You spell it I am. What am I know? What's my name? I am. It may be impossible to you, but not to the I am. To the I am, it's possible. It's absolutely possible. But you got to trust in me. Draw me closer. Halfway habits? Come on. Let's move a little closer, Lord. Let's not stop splitting our time. Some of these wrong relationships, let's line them up right. Let's put him first. First love, he's first. Some of these places where I'm just doing what I'm doing, what's the point? What's the point? Let's get back to that. I think that'd be a great question to ask you. What's the point? I know I got to do this, but what's the point to doing this? And as you ask, then just say, Holy Spirit, would you show me what the point? Like, who's the poor? Who's the prisoner? Who's the blind? Who's the oppressed? How am I doing, God? And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit will rush in with hope, because I am, it's always possible. Always possible. And so I think the Holy Spirit's with us today. We've asked him to speak to our hearts. I think he's already speaking to you today. And I just want you to hear that Jesus immersed himself. He took a step of obedience. Some of us today, we need to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've been doing this with God. We're touching, you know, dipping our foot in. And it's like, man, I'd love to be a lot closer if you'd give me more of you. And so we need to take that step today. Some of us, boy, we're kind of like Paul in Galatians. It's like, man, you began in the Spirit, but you've gotten a little distracted. And you need to remember what my life, my pattern, Jesus, what my pattern is all about. Let's get back to it. I'm telling you what, not harder, not smarter. What is it? Closer. That's the answer. So would you stand with me? And would you bow your heads and just take a moment to hear from the Lord? Everybody, this is a really sacred moment, so I just appreciate if there's not much moving around. Would you just right now, would you just close yourself off with the Lord? And I'm just going to ask you right here, right now, some of you need to take that step. Choose Jesus today. Choose Jesus. Say yes to him. If this you, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to just agree with me in your heart. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner who has no power to change on my own. I need you to deliver me from the pain and sin of my life. Please restore your purpose and peace in me. I ask for your presence and power to come into my life that I may have a new beginning. Please bring me into your heavenly family and lead me in knowing more of you. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If that's you today, would you just be immersed in obedience and say yes? And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to take a step of raising a hand and saying, this is what I choose today. Would you take that choice right now? Amen. Anybody else making that choice today? Amen. Anyone else today? Just be immersed. That's right. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for these decisions today. Lord, we just step all the way, every part of our life coming to you, putting our feet on your promises and none of the lies of the world. Thank you for this day. Thank you for new beginnings, dear God. We just, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in right now. We just come closer to you right now. And for all of us together now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, but we're not going to finish the prayer at the end. But I want you, with the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, to pray this prayer. Pray it really intentionally and thoughtfully, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you about every word you're about to say. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. And as you're still praying now, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Say, Holy Spirit, come closer. Bring more of you into my life. Bring more of you into my life. Bring more of you into my life. Would you right now, whether it's a halfway habit, a wrong relationship, a pointless pursuit, would you just take a moment and offer it to the Lord? Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Come in, oh God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Praise you. Take over new territory of our heart. Take over the words of our mouth. Take over the relationships of our life. Let it be so now, oh God. Let it be so now. Praise your name. Praise your name. Lord, would you begin to show us even, be our guide now. Help us not even leave this room without you showing us how to go out. Help us not go home without asking you to interpret what we've been going through. Holy Spirit, there's some loved ones in our life. We don't know how to help them. could you interpret for us? And God, would you forgive us for trying to fix them instead of love them? I think this is the Holy Spirit saying right now, there's some loved ones, there's a loved one in your life. You don't know how to fix them. You don't even know how to relate to them anymore. You go to call them and you don't call them because you don't know what to say. And the Holy Spirit would say, would you let me guide you in that relationship? And don't just ask for me to fix them. How about something in you be fixed about how you relate to them? Would you take a moment right now? Let's just respond to the Holy Spirit. Would you pray for that loved one right now? And pray, kind of pray for you as much as that other person. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me, guide me, interpret for me what I should do. Thank you. Speak their name, just even quietly or just to yourself, but offer them to Holy Spirit wants to guide you in that relationship. Praise your name. We believe, God. We believe you're more than able, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By faith, oh God, we walk in that relationship. Guide us. We commit them to you now, and that what we give to you, you are able to care for. You're able. So, Lord, teach us now to stay close to you, no matter what relationships we encounter, whatever needs are in front of us, keep us close to you. We want to stay true to your Spirit. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen. Sacred time in the Lord today. Thank you for coming and being part. If you want to hang out, feel free to let the Holy Spirit guide you. Look forward to doing Keep Growing. Fill out the connection card if you would. If you need to take that class, we'd love for you to start next week. God bless you. You can put it in your seat pocket or in the boxes as you leave.